Our lectionary reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through a region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then Jesus said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." These are our sacred stories. KUHF News 88.7 is in the middle of its fall fundraising campaign. I love local NPR. And I grow weary of being asked for money every time I get in my car. I'm tempted to just listen to podcasts or Audible on my way to work. It's not just that the ask takes up so much of the programming, it's also the guilt. You know, if you're listening to this, if you rely on us for your news and information, you really should give your money. Or how about this one? Consider what you pay monthly for other services that you use. What is reliable news worth to you? $50 a month, $100, $500? If you listen every day, you really need to be a sustaining member. We rely on you to keep these programs running. We have to pay NPR for what we broadcast here in Houston, and so we need you to donate to Houston Public Media if you want great shows like Morning Edition and All Things Considered. Consider what you get from listening, and now consider what you give. You might find the value you receive is much larger than what you give. Now is the time to do your part. To put it bluntly, you get, and so you need to give. And if you need to get more in order to give, well, we'll throw in this t-shirt or this mug or this tote bag or Meals for Hungry Seniors or our partnership with Meals on Wheels. And sometimes giving is like that. But then is it really giving? If you're giving in exchange for what you're getting, isn't that a transaction rather than a gift? Diana Butler Bass, in her book, Gratitude, The Transformative Power of Giving Thanks, describes a gap between our desire to be grateful and our ability to behave gratefully. In other words, she describes the difference between individual and communal gratitude. Individual gratitude can be the deep appreciation for an experience or a gift, and Bass suggests that this is a helpful and good spiritual practice. But as a culture, we have often understood gratitude as transactional. You give me something, do something for me, and I owe you, tit for tat. Jesus, just a few chapters before this morning's reading, steers us away from transactional giving. He says, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return." Expecting nothing in return. I think we too often skip right past these words. This is radical. This is a radical way to think about giving. In a capitalist society, we are taught to give in order to get. We loan in order to gain through interest. We give with reciprocity in mind. To give, as Jesus suggests we do, with no expectation of return, is countercultural. It's radical. Many churches, rather than following Jesus or Dr. Bass, are plagued by hierarchical gratitude, by notions of reciprocity, by financial gifts used for power or control. One of my friends, right out of divinity school, was called to a small church. Almost immediately, he was bullied by the family who gave the most money to the operating budget. If he preached a sermon the family didn't like, they threatened to remove their gifts. If he suggested a change they didn't want to make, they gave less money. When the minister announced that he was going to marry a gay couple who had long been members of the church, the family threatened to remove the altar because it had been paid for by the matriarch of their family, and she didn't like gay marriage. It's not uncommon for people to use gifts as a mechanism of control. And when this happens, a gift becomes a means of oppression. You'll be glad to know, I think, that the wedding went off without a hitch and without an altar. My friend, the minister, with a couple of friends, carried the altar out of the church and into his pickup truck and all the way to the matriarch's house. A few weeks later, she wanted it returned to its former place, promising there were no strings attached. What would happen if we separated gratitude from transaction? What would it look like to give with no expectation of return? Forget about reciprocity. This is not give and take. This is what Bass calls communal gratitude. It's horizontal, conjuring an image of people around a table. It's giving and receiving and giving again. Understanding gratitude and gift in such a way means that I will not offer a covenant bumper sticker in exchange for your monthly pledge, your sustaining membership. I will not bribe you with the offer to make the season of stewardship one Sunday shorter if you'll just turn in your pledge cards. And I will not mention our insulated covenant totes or the myriad covenant t-shirts that we may or may not have. Luke tells the story of 10 lepers who beseech Jesus for mercy. Mercy, keeping their distance as by law they must. They are objects of fear and loathing. Not just their health, but their homes, their lives, friends, work, family are gone because of their condition. And so when they see Jesus, they shout, "Jesus, have mercy on us." And Jesus does. "Go and show yourselves to the priests," Jesus says. A priest must declare them clean in order for them to return to their lives and families. "Go and show yourselves to the priests," and they go. And as they're going, they realize that they've been healed. One pauses. He comes back to give praise and say thanks. The others keep going. There's nothing to suggest that the others are not grateful. I love the painting on the cover of your worship folder this week. You can turn and look at it if you want. If you got the large print, you have to share with someone who has the trifle. One reason I love this painting is that it shows everyone overflowing with joy. But for only one does this joy, this gratitude, lead to a response to Jesus. The Samaritan is given the gift of healing, and he responds, not in a "you give to me and I give to you" way, not in an exchange, not in a "now I owe you," but in community, in sharing, in overflow. His gratitude becomes his behavior. We hear a lot about an attitude of gratitude, but in my experience, transformative gratitude is more about a practice than a way of thinking. It's not that the other lepers, who are now healed, it's not that they're not grateful. We don't know how they're feeling. But only one practices gratitude. Only one responds out of gratitude with his own generosity, giving and receiving and giving again. Meister Eckhart said, "If the only prayer you ever say in your entire life is 'thank you,' it will be enough." I've been thinking about those words and wondering what it would look like to have thank you as our motivation for giving. Not exchange or tit for tat or guilt or requirement, but thank you. gratitude. When the expectation of return is removed, giving is an act of worship. It's a spiritual practice. It's a response to our inner connectedness. It's not that your giving of your money, your time, and your bountiful talents within the covenant community will not yield return. You give and you receive here. It's rather that our giving and receiving are about sharing and community, about an outpouring of gratitude, not about power or control. You give and you receive and you give again, and your gratitude abounds as you serve a meal at hospitality apartments or grace place or committee meetings or chop vegetables for an all-church lunch, as you make snacks for coffee and fellowship, as you come Thursday after Thursday after Thursday to practice with the choir, as you prepare for adult education, as you load the kids into the car and come to our food garden to pick ripe okra. Gratitude lives in the smiles on your kids' faces and in the bellies that will be filled with healthy food at the women's shelter. We give and we receive and we give again, not out of exchange or expectation, but out of gratitude and love. It looks like children and youth leading in worship, going to camp, asking questions about God and the world. It's people in covenant t-shirt placing beads around necks and sharing God's endless welcoming love at the pride parade. It's volunteers caring for these buildings and for each other. It's watching Jody's video to prepare to teach children Sunday school. It's a card in the mail that means that you are loved. It's call after call to active, justice-seeking love. It's the courage we find here in each other, in our sacred stories, in the music, in the bread, and the cup. Courage to work for peace in a world plagued by violence. Courage to use our voices to demand justice. Courage to refuse to give up on the realm of God's mercy. We do not charge membership dues. You will not be taxed to worship here. There is no obligation to give. There is opportunity to share what we have and who we are, opportunity for gratitude, for giving and receiving and giving again. Amen.